Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. As you may have heard, we just celebrated our 70th church anniversary. Our nightly services, March 14th through 16th, featured the Reverend Dr. Jarvis Collier, Senior Pastor of the Pleasant Green Baptist Church in Kansas City, Kansas. Our celebration culminated on Sunday, March 18th, with the return of Reverend Maverick Gayden, Senior Pastor of the Pilgrim Valley Missionary Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. The podcast for his sermon titled Lemonade can be found on our website at www.stpaulsac.org. This message is from our awesome Friday celebration, which Dr. Collier titles, That I May Know Him. And if you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 5 down through 10. Let's now head into the auditorium and join the celebration program already in progress.
Heavenly Father, grateful are we that you are our strength. We celebrate 70 years that you have been the strength of the St. Paul family, a strong pastor, a loving pastor, a compassionate pastor, a giving pastor, a modeling pastor, a Christ-affirming pastor, a Holy Spirit-led pastor, a people doing great and awesome work for the kingdom cause. You are our strength. We celebrate tonight 70 plus years. Great is your faithfulness. And Lord, tonight we pray that you would speak through your word. Allow me to be an instrument to speak forth the name that is above every name. We leave no ambiguity in whose name we draw together. We come in the name of Jesus. And you said in your word, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So tonight we've come with no other agenda than to call the name of Jesus. And then, O Lord, to celebrate what he has done, dying on the cross, arising on the third day, ascending on high, interceding right now for believers, calling all to salvation. And we honor you tonight in the name of Jesus. It is our prayer. Amen. Pastor Williams, my colleagues who share the preaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, you, my brothers and sisters in the family, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Many times we take for granted. I'll be there one of the nights, and I want to thank each of you. Thank God for Dr. Williams, his wisdom, his love, his compassion. I enjoy watching him love St. Paul. And there is no secret between Dr. Williams' love and vision and wisdom and leadership. We've talked about it each night to some degree, that he has given an example of a loving, patient leader. Not going too far ahead, but bringing people along and helping with the vision. And to God be the glory. I want to thank God for him, his hospitality, his kind words, and just many deposits into my life. Maybe he'll never know how much he means to me as a mentor, and I appreciate being a protege to a mentor like Dr. Ephraim Williams. Amen. One more time. Come on, let's thank the Lord for him. Some of the brothers were talking about how sad it was to come to the last night, but I haven't left yet. I'm trying to see if there's a little chair in Lamont's office that I can I can sit and pretend like I'm working and stick around. Amen. But thanks be to God for all of our brothers. I want to lift the word as God has given it to me. Philippians chapter 3, the New Testament epistle of Philippians chapter 3. And there are a few scattered words that the Lord would have us to focus in on. Everyone standing, if you will, in reverence of our God. Not tradition, just I believe we reverence God when we stand. The word says they stood when they read the word. Philippians chapter 3, and we begin with verse 5. Paul is talking to the believers. He writes these words, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. There are the words. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Again, verse 10, that I may know him. You may be seated. I want to lift those five words tonight that I want to lift, that I may know him. The pursuit of Paul's life, especially after being apprehended by God on the road to Damascus, was coming to know the one who went to all the trouble to save Paul's life. I might add early on that God saved you, and he saved you for a purpose. The purpose was that he would set you on a journey, and you and I on a journey wherein we would constantly know him. Now, when I started thinking and praying and meditating on this, Dr. Williams, I wanted to come with a big word, and the word was epistemology. And the word epistemology is, how do we know what we know? Now, individuals will say, well, I just know it. But I want to ask you, how do you really know what you know? I believe there are four ways that you can know something. You can know something by rote. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Or, and we've memorized that as children, 26 letters of the English alphabet. And we've memorized them. We don't know why A should go before B. There is no logical reason why B should go before C, but we've all learned them by rote. And then today I was thinking about, we even know them backwards, don't we? Z, Y, W, V, U, T, S, R, Q, P, O, N, M. You believe I'm going to mess up, don't you? L, K, J. How do you know it, preacher? By rote, I memorized it, and so now I believe I know my ABCs. And a little girl affirmed it right behind me in the restaurant. She was singing, now I know my ABCs. Tell me what you think of me. And I said, that's the Lord. because she didn't know I was going to preach about that I may know him. But I posit that because I want to tell you, some of us know him by rote. We know he was born of a virgin. We know he was born in Bethlehem. We know certain things, but that's not the knowledge that I'm trying to get to. Then we know something by rote. Then we know something by research. Now, Wikipedia and Google makes all of us authority. If you want to know something today, all you have to do is use your device and do some research. And Pastor, I believe some people know Christ by research. We've read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John aspects of his life, but there's a deeper way of knowing. Rote, ABCs, research, Google, Wikipedia. Then we know on the basis of reputation. Can I ask you a question? Everybody can participate. How many of you know Colin Powell? Raise your hand if you know him. See, I tell you, whenever I start asking questions, people hedging their bets. Where's he going with this? Now, a few people raised their hand. Now, let me tell you what you just did. You said, I know a 4-star African-American general. Former Secretary of State, distinguished man before Obama, talked about as a presidential candidate. But if I asked you his personal cell phone number, you'd say, oh, no, I know him by reputation. I've read about him in the New York Times. When he was Secretary of State, I saw one who put his credibility on the line. Anyone remember to say they are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, in the UN, and you and I went to war as a nation on the reputation of an impeccable man who had served in the military. But we only knew him by reputation. Put it together, preacher. Somebody knows Christ as a healer because you've heard somebody say he healed them. But when God heals you through the power of Jesus Christ and you rise up from a sick bed, you know him more than rote. You know him more than reputation. You know him more than research. You know him on the basis of a relationship. Oh, we've heard some good preaching, and certain preachers have come. Pastor has taught us, and others have come. He's Jehovah Jireh. And somebody said, work, preacher. And the point is, he's Jehovah Jireh because he's your provider. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah because I have a reputation. I mean, because I have a relationship with him. So Paul is talking here, and Paul says, sum up my life in 5 words, that I may know him. And tonight I want to just share a little bit of Paul's emphasis as it can become our emphasis. Now, how do you want to know him? I want to know him, Paul says, preeminently. That's why Paul went through all of that, circumcised on the 8th day, Pharisee. Paul said, I've got a lot of awards, but I want to take all of them and throw them in the dumpster. Because on my ledger is only one thing, that on the road to Damascus, he deputized the noonday sun, and I was arrested, and my papers went all over the desert road. And he called me, Paul said, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul says, I want to know him preeminently. In other words, there's nothing in my life that's more important than knowing him. I need to ask, did I come with the right message today? Does anybody want to know him more than you want to know anybody else? More than the degrees on the wall, more than the accolades, more than the encomiums, more than the prominence of humanity, more. I want to know him preeminently. Says there's just two columns in my life. It's an asset column. Asset and a liability. And then when you take assets from liabilities, you have net worth. That's all you need to know about economics. You have your pluses and you have your minuses. You have what you own, you have what you're paying on. And then you subtract what you're paying on from what you own, and that gives you your net worth. But God sent me to tell somebody, if you're down to net worth zero, if you've got Christ, you've got self-worth. You've got spiritual worth, you've got soul worth, and you've got salvation worth. But Paul says here, I want to know him preeminently. A.Z. Tozer had a book that is a classic, The Pursuit of God. And Tozer argues that all of our lives are about, as Christians, coming to know him. Now, how do you know someone whom you've known a long time? Well, I want to ask a couple who has been married 40 or 50 years or more. Don't you know everything you need to know about the individual? Well, you're looking at me. We have about 10 couples in our fellowship with 50 plus years of marriage. I would just believe, in my small thinking, they would know everything about one another. But you know, human beings are so complex that you can think you know somebody and they can do something that astonishes you. Or the brothers can't holler back, but let me tell you something. And maybe if you're sitting next to your mate, just look straight ahead. Don't say a word, just look straight ahead. She can do something and you can say to yourself, what in the world? But on the other side, she can do something so wonderful, so unusual, so sacrificial, and you say, what a mighty God to give me such a blessing from God. And sister, you know that he can do something that causes you to say, are you the one? Or shall I look for another? And yet when he comes home with a just because, you might ask him, what is this for? And he melts your heart by saying, just because. Yes, well, I'm going to preach to some other people. I want to know him preeminently, but then I want to know him personally, because it's not about things that are said about him. A lot of people heard that Jesus was a feeder of 5,000. A lot of people heard that if you go to him and you're hungry, before the meeting closes, he'll take some fish and some loaves of bread and send you home with a happy meal. I want to know him preeminently. I want to know him personally. Number three, I want to know him passionately. Let me loop back to what I talked about the first night. There is a passion when you talk about the love of your life. I've talked to some people, and when they start talking about, he was so smooth. This is a sister talk here. He was so smooth, and he said to me, I'd like to get to know you. Maybe I'm dated when a person said to you, sister, remember, I'd like to kind of get to know you. He was not saying, now, where were you born? He was saying, how can I get close to you? And if it was a good relationship sanctioned by God, there has been some passion in that relationship. You don't have to tell me, because you couldn't stick around if there was no passion. He has to talk about you. She has to talk, brother, about you. I love my husband. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's kind. He's considerate. And she's passionate about you. And you say, when I see her walk, I was thinking about my wife for a minute, y'all. I'm sorry. I've been away from home for a few days, so. When I talk to her on the phone, I tell her I'm on my way back home. Passion ought to rise. But when you talk about the one who saved your soul, passion ought to rise. Your voice ought to rise. Something ought to change on the inside. Your heart goes pitter-patter, and you say, he's the love of my life. Want to know him preeminently. I want to know him passionately. Want to know him personally. I want to know him powerfully, because he says here, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. If anything is dead in your life, Christ has the power to give it life. You don't have a dead job. You don't have a dead relationship. You don't have dead finances. You don't have dead prospects. Everything that Christ touches, he resurrects. He gives life to it. Can I go back to the Old Testament? Ezekiel 37. The Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel had been walking with God a long time, so Ezekiel was like some of us when we're asked to raise our hand. We kind of hedge our bets. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, I don't know. They're very dry. And God said, preach to the bones. Now, can I tell you, Ezekiel didn't have a choir, didn't have a praise team, didn't have musicians. Ezekiel was out there in the barren desert preaching to some dry bones. But I heard the Lord say that if you preach to them, I'll cause a rattling and the bones will start coming together, bone to bone, but then they'll stand upright and they will still not be alive because it still needs the breath of God. That's God's Holy Spirit who is in the believer. And when you and I would feel dead, we are enlivened because greater lives in us. I want to know him powerfully. I don't want anything in my life to be dead. When you're in Christ, nothing in your life as a believer is dead. You're not in a dead ministry. You're not in a dead marriage. You're not in a dead relationship. You don't have dead finances. Your mind is not dead. You are alive because Christ is alive forevermore. When he arose, he said, I've got all power in my hands. I don't like to say the word power without allowing you to understand power is an exclamation point. Power is not, yeah, he's got all power. And I've said to you before, I really try. Every time I preach, 40 years, Pastor Williams, trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, every time I've prayed and written out a message, I have in it stand up, 6 foot tall, good heavy voice, a little bit of education. Just speak, just talk to the people. And tonight, after preaching a couple of nights, I said, I can just talk a little bit. Yes, sir. And again, I'm not trying to prove anything. Dr. Williams is a great preacher and has built a great church. You've heard every preacher imaginable. So I had in my notes, just talk. But I've been up here about 30 minutes talking about that I may know him. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to confess something to you. There's something burning on the inside. Because when I start talking about him, who is the him you're talking about? Him who died on the cross. Him who arose on Sunday morning. Him who brought salvation to my life. Him who canceled my sin debt. Him who wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. Why you gotta holler? Because I'm talking about him. Him who made a way. Him who opened doors that no one could close. Him who has been my doctor. Him who has been my lawyer. Him, do you know him?
Yes, Have you tried him? Do you know him? His name is Jesus. Jesus. My way. Out of no way. Jesus. I want to know him. Last thing. You know, celebrities have security. And we don't even know who they really are. If we didn't see the commotion of the security, we wouldn't know who they're protecting. And the security is to keep people away from them. But now imagine if they didn't have the security, we wouldn't even want to know them. All right. You ever hear people talk about, I want somebody's autograph? And they tell you and they show you somebody's autograph and they say, now that's such and such an autograph. And you're trying to figure out, I can't see it. I'm not trying to be funny and I'm not materialistic. Please don't hear that. But if you want somebody's autograph, it ought to be at the bottom of a check. I'm just saying, not good, bless you, you know, be good, God be with you. That won't help you. And if you have to explain to people whose autograph you have, and that makes you feel good, but let me tell you whose autograph you have at the bottom of the salvation contract. You missed it. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm through. But let me tell you what they told me when I bought the ring for my wife. They said, if you hold it up in the light and turn it, different facets will show themselves. I just thought it was a diamond, and they convinced me 3 or 4 months, your salary, De Beers. They said that was just marketing. But anyway, I've held it up, and the light catches it. And when you turn it, you can see different facets of that diamond. Let me tell you something about when you hold up Christ as Savior. Come on now. Come on. You see different facets of who he is. You see him as grace, healer, joy, deliverer. Turn him in a different direction, and the light of God will shine in your life, and what you need, God has it. He's got a name for every one of your needs. I peaked it too soon, but if you're in confusion, he is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. If you're feeling lonely, he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the banner over your life. If you're sick, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, your healer. But you don't remember all of that, and Moses didn't remember all of that. Moses said, I got to tell him who you are. And he said, tell him, I am that I am. I'm glad to report tonight, he is who he says he is. He's your doctor when you need him. He's a lawyer when you need him. That I may know him. I want to know him. He can be known. He's not trying to hide from us. The people, listen to this one. The people whose music we buy, whose movies we watch, somebody asked me, did I see Wakanda? Did I see Black Panther? Absolutely. But there's no spiritual value
It's a movie. But you couldn't find those people willing to shake your hand. But they would not be who they are if not for people. The one I call his name is the one who comes by to see about me.
That's what matters.
I'm glad. I'm through. I'm glad I don't have to say, hey, Jesus, and Jesus walks past me. Come on. And I'm trying to reach Jesus, and you stand in front. And somebody is in front of, let's pretend I'm Jesus, and this brother is keeping everybody away from me. And somebody's trying to reach me. I'm pretending to be Jesus, and this brother is keeping everybody away from me. And this brother is backing me up. So when we move over this way and I'm trying to speak to somebody and give them healing, see, that woman with an issue of blood couldn't have gotten to Jesus because this brother would have kept her from Jesus. Get out of the way. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I got to know him. I got to get to him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That little boy with a lad's lunch said, if I'll give him my lunch, if it gets in his hands, he can do more with it than I can do with it. It's only enough for me. But if I give it to him in his hands, he can feed 5,000. I want to know him. And I believe somebody else is here tonight who wants to know him. That's why you worship. That's why you praise. That's why you get on your knees. That's why you turn the pages of Holy Writ, because you want to know him. I know that's why people don't understand Christians. They say, you went to church last week. But just tell them, I'm trying to know him. You went to 3 nights of a revival. Nobody can be that good, but let me tell you something. The Olympics were on the other week, and some people were glued to the Olympics. The Academy Awards was 4 hours, and some people sat through every hour of it. NBA games sometimes can be 2.5 hours. March Madness, listen, y'all. They played basketball yesterday, they played today, they playing tomorrow, Monday, and some people already have their seats ready. Nachos and soft drinks. But let me tell you, I want to know him, so I can't get enough, because every time I get into his presence, he tells me a little more about him. Every day with Jesus. Can I holler one time? Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, and I love him more and more. That I may know him. Father, we want to know you. That's what we've come to do tonight, just to get closer to you. You reveal yourself best of all in sending your only begotten Son. Thank you for going to the cross on our behalf, that the just died for the unjust. That you, O Heavenly Father, made him your Son who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in you, in him. Thank you for Jesus. There is a name. There is a name. Somebody ought to love that name. It's the name of Jesus. I just want to extend an invitation. Do you know him? And if you don't know him, you can come to know him Friday, March 16th. This can be your spiritual birthday.
Yes, sir.
There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. White-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Heavy voice brothers, has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. But I want to just tickle that there is a name. Old school or the new school, there is a name. There is a name. The door is open. The invitation is extended. If you're here tonight, I don't want to take for granted that everyone. Come on, come on, come on. Let's all do it.
Come on, come on, come on, give it your all that I might know him. Thank you, Lord.
Would that be one tonight? Well,